I never got one. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen.
Now, that Bible reading was from Mark 4. Okay, it's the story. A lot of people know that story. It's entitled "Jesus Calms the Storm." But actually, what I want to do really is take you this morning to John 14. The context of John 14 is that Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he will leave them. In verse 1 of John 14 in the Bible, it says this. Jesus, talking to them, says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus then goes on in that chapter to talk to his disciples about the promise of the Holy Spirit, which he says will be an advocate for them, to help them. But then we get to John 14, verse 27. And this is the verse that particularly I want to share with you about this morning. John 14, 27, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." This is the verse that I want us to focus on this morning from John's Gospel. But I also want to use a little bit of that account on Mark 4 of Jesus calming the storm. So, the first thing, when I looked at that verse in John's Gospel, I'll read it again to you. Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." The first thing I kind of noticed was that when Jesus said, "I do not give you peace as the world gives." Now, I'm sure Jesus here is not talking about countries at war or being in physical conflict. But I think what he's actually talking about more here is a personal inner peace. So what peace can the world give us or offer us? Because Jesus said, "I don't give you this," but he seems to suggest that there is a kind of a peace that might come through the world. And I was thinking, okay, what does that mean? Well, I think some might argue that that peace might come from, say, something like financial security. Or it might come from having a good health, being in strong and stable relationships, maybe even having a good social life. And these are all nice to have, and I think they can really help us when we have those things as part of our lives. But if I'm honest, I'm not convinced, even when a person has all those, that it actually brings peace. Certainly, or at least not the peace that I actually think Jesus is talking about. I watched a lot of films. I like watching films. And I seemed over a period of time, I've watched quite a lot of film biographies. So films made of famous people and their life story. And when you watch these films of these famous people in their lives, on one side, you kind of think that they've got it all. They've got the money and they've got the fame and they've got this sort of, you know, people around them, the security of finance and all this kind of stuff. On one side, they often seem to have that. But on the other side, they're often broken. They're often lost. They definitely are not at peace. Not everyone, but seems to be a number of the films that I've watched recently of these famous people. There just seems to be these two sides of the coin that they seem to have all that the world seems to say, look, if you get this stuff, you'll be sorted. Peace. But yet they seem to be a lot of turmoil and kind of certainly not an inner peace that I think Jesus is talking about. I think our Bible story that was read for us in Mark 4 is a real and honest illustration for us this morning. See, the disciples and Jesus are looking to go over the other side of the lake. So what do? Obviously, they get in a boat. And I think we presume that when they get in the boat to set off to the other side of the lake, the water is calm. You presume that because you think if it's not, maybe they're not going. So you presume as they start their journey over to the other side of the lake, the water is calm. But then, obviously, what happens, what we read? The storm comes while they're on the lake. Isn't that a picture for many people's lives at times? Calm, calm, nice and calm. Uh-oh, storm comes. And I'm not talking about the good old Manchester weather. All right? Just a picture, isn't it? Because I don't think I know anyone that has never encountered a storm in their life or has gone through life and never faced challenges. I don't think I know anyone in that position. Jesus says in the parable of the two builders, and as I know that's a parable about building a house on rock, building a house on sand, Jesus says to those that are listening, it's what happens when the storms come. He doesn't say, well, you need to be getting ready because they might come, or if they come, or maybe they'll come. He just kind of acknowledges, even Jesus acknowledges, that storms are going to come. That's why we need to get our house built, or certainly our physical, spiritual house built on the right foundations, which is the promises of God, his word. You see it, don't we, when we go on to the precinct and we meet people on the precinct and we just say to them something, you know, we might go up to them and we'll just say, excuse me, can we just tell you what we're doing? And all we're doing is we're asking, is there something you'd like us to pray? We're just from the local church. Is there something you'd like us to pray for? Maybe something for the world. Maybe something for someone that you know who needs some help. Maybe for yourself. And, you know, some people don't want to do it and heads down and they carry on. And some people are not that way. But some of them, and actually more than we think, start to open up. And when they start to open up, you realize the concern that is in people, the trouble that's in people, the hurt and the sadness that's in these people that we're just meeting as they go about their shop. They're, you know, popping into Greg's and suddenly they meet one of us. And then they suddenly get this opportunity just to talk and to share. But then what they share, it's like, wow. People, I think, sometimes feel with a sense that they're being just tossed about by life's stormy waves. These waves can come from all kinds of places. They can come from the pace of life. They can come from the pressures of life. They can come from a result of a bad choice. They can come from a change of circumstance out of our control. They can come from many places. And for many at times, the storm of life can feel overwhelming. It can feel scary. It can feel like we're going to drown. Maybe the disciples felt a little bit like this in the boat. These fishermen, there was a sense that they were, as they set off on this calm journey across the lake with Jesus, but then suddenly this storm comes and they're scared. They're worried for their own safety. We're going to drown. And that's a physical picture of sometimes how people feel in life. So we need to go back to those words of Jesus in John 14. Jesus said this. Jesus said, "Peace I give you." So he said, not as the world gives, but I can still give you a peace. And the question that really kind of caught me when I was thinking about it is, come in guys, there's some seats down there if you want to. You on the front if you want to. The question that really kind of captured me, what does it mean to have the peace that Jesus says he wants to give to us? What does that mean? What does that look like? How can we know the peace from Jesus? How can we know it? How can we find it? How can we receive it? Because that's really important, isn't it? Jesus is not saying my peace comes from having loads of money or fame or fortune, but Jesus does say I can give you peace. So what does that look like? How do we find that? How do we receive this peace that Jesus is talking about? And what I want to do is I want to share with you an illustration that really spoke to me about this. And it's called the cushion of the sea. Let me read this illustration to you. A number of years ago, a submarine being tested had to be submerged for several hours. Upon returning to the harbour, the captain was asked, "How did that terrible storm last night affect you?" Surprised, the captain explained, "Storm? What storm? We didn't even notice that there was one." See, their submarine had been so far beneath the surface that it had reached what sailors refer to as the cushion of the sea. A depth in the ocean where the waters below are never stirred despite any commotion on the surface. And when I read that, God really spoke to me about that. That sense that this submarine, there was this storm that was going on above the surface, but the submarine had found a place where even the storm that was all around on the surface, they'd found a place where it wasn't affecting them. They were still. They were at peace. And it's a real thing because I looked it up, I googled it, cushion of the sea. See, I believe that for God's people, there is a cushion of the sea. So when the storm is raging, there is still a place of peace to be found. A place of being submerged in some ways in God's presence and peace, no matter what is going on around us. And I think that in some ways that was where Jesus was. And it's funny, isn't it? Because if you read that verse in Mark 4 where Jesus is in the boat, it says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Just so happens he was on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus is asleep on a cushion in the middle of a storm. And the disciples are like, "Well, how can this be? What is going on? How can he be asleep in the storm?" But I think Jesus was in that place. You know, I believe that peace from God and Jesus today is one of the most precious gifts to find and to know in and through our faith. Say that again. I believe that peace from God and Jesus today is one of the most precious gifts to find and to know in and through our faith. Peace to me is about calm and it's about contentment. It's about assurance and security. It's about safety and fulfillment. It's about purpose. It's about hope. It's about all those things and probably other things. So how is it, how regardless of what is going on around us, even when the storm is raging around us, how do we reach the depth of God's cushion of the sea? And I want to talk just about a few things that I believe might contribute to taking us in some ways down to that depth, to that place where no matter what is going on around us, we can still have a peace. We can still find the presence of God, feel secure and safe. Because I think that's a really important thing for us as God's people to learn and to know and to receive. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, it's not the peace that the world gives, it's actually a peace that I give to you. I think there's a number of things that might contribute to taking us to that place. First thing I've wrote down there is I think it comes from knowing that God is sovereign all the time. That he is faithful all the time. That he is loving all the time. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though the world will change, our circumstance will change, God remains. And I know the doubt will be there, because when we look around the world and we think, oh my goodness, where's God when there's all this stuff going on? I think we can still know he's still sovereign. He's still faithful. He is still loving all the time, whatever's going on in the world or in around our own world. I think it comes from knowing that our Heavenly Father cares for us and that we belong to him and that he is on our side. He is on your side. He does care for you. He loves you. And I think that should help to bring something into us that's important when actually the storms and the world is in turmoil. You know, Matthew 6, a couple of verses, it says this, again, just Jesus teaching. Be careful. Where am I? There we are. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And then it says this, doesn't it? Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you know your value to God? That he is on your side, that he cares for you, that he loves you, no matter what is going on around you. Does that begin to take us deeper into that place? I think there's a real value in counting our blessings. I'm not sure we do that enough, give thanks enough, count our blessings enough, because we get caught up in the negative stuff too much. You know, I loved it when I had the opportunity to go to Uganda and come across, people that just have nothing regarding what the world would say you should need. You know, just financially poor and just, didn't have nice clothes, didn't have shoes, just had nothing. But yet inside of them, they had a lot. They were rich. They were beautiful. It was lovely to just spend time with them because it made you consider what you had, what you rely on, and yet that you think is important. And yet they had so little materially in the world, but yet the peace and the joy that they had was just challenging, really. I mean, it's important that we count our blessings. I also think it's really important that we look for good, because we can see so much bad and we miss the good stuff. And the thing about it is, counting your blessings and looking for good, I think, kind of plays as a counter to the bad in the world and to the negative and to the unrest and to the fear in the world. I think we need to count our blessings, and we need to see where there is good going on. Because God is always at work. It could be small things, but yet we see them. As we see those small things, they encourage us and they build us up and they give us an assurance. I think something else that might contribute to taking us down to that depth of peace in God, that cushion of peace, is I think it's important that we deal with stuff. And what I mean by that is we need to deal with sin in our lives. We need to deal with if we've got things like anger or jealousy in our lives or unforgiveness. Because if we have that sort of stuff in our lives, that will, in some ways, that will push us up out of the place of peace that God wants to take us into. They become like a buoyancy, to use the kind of the illustration. We need to, in some ways, we need to let go and let God. Because if we don't, then we're going to struggle to drop to the depth of that place of presence and peace, whatever's going on around us. And I think most important of all, it's about spending time reaching the depth. You know, submarines, I'm pretty certain, drop their depth slowly. They don't go, "Bing." I don't know how that would work. But they kind of must drop their depth slowly. And I think for us as God's people, sometimes we need to just drop our depth slowly into that place of peace and being in God's presence. And how do we do that? Well, it's about spending time with God, isn't it? It's about intentionally being in his presence. I think it's, you know, Psalm 46, verse 10, a verse that many people will know. What does it say? "Be still and know that I am God." Having that place of stillness intentionally that just takes us down to that place of peace. It's about being in God's word, the Bible, where we can find security in the Bible's teachings and promises. I think it's about being in worship. It's about being in fellowship. It's about being in his community, the church. I think all those things help us to sort of move into that place of peace, that cushion of peace, which I believe is a gift that God wants us to have of his people. We sometimes sing that song, don't we? "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Because when we do, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his presence, his glory and presence. You know, if we spend time in his presence, if we spend time in prayer, if we spend time in his word, if we spend time in worship and fellowship, it helps us to look to him. And as we look to him, then those stuff that are going on around us, even the storms that are going on around us, become less and less important. I'm not saying they go away, but sometimes become less important because we see God and we know that God is far bigger than whatever we're facing. So we need to spend time going down into that place. I think it's also about rest. I'm not going to talk about this because Alison will smile at me, but Alison's been looking at what it means to rest. And how there are different types of rest: physical rest, mental rest, emotional rest, spiritual rest. And I think we do need to learn how to rest. And I'm not very good at it myself. But God is interested in all of who we are. So he wants to take us to that place of nourishment in all the different areas of our lives. Not just about getting more sleep, for example. It's about resting in other ways. I also believe another contributor to finding this peace from Jesus connects to the Holy Spirit. It has to do. Because the verse before about Jesus saying, "I give you peace," the verse before, 26, says this: "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." So I think it connects. You know, we need to keep being filled, receive God's Spirit in our lives. Peace and the Spirit are connected. I think some of these things for me are just contributors that might help us. From, if you take that illustration today of that submarine going down to that place of the cushion of the sea, so that whenever the storm is raging, it's still in a place of peace, still in a place of rest. then I think if we take that, I think all these things can help contribute to us as God's people to taking us to that place when the storms of life go around us. I think there are others. Another one that I think I probably want to talk about another time is, which we picked up in our small group this week, was about what really matters, knowing what really matters, and letting go of the stuff that does not really matter, and focusing on the stuff that does really matter. Now, I do have to say that even though I talk about this today, I have certainly not cracked it. I am not the expert who's... And I kind of know this because I thought it was appropriate that the illustration was about a submarine. Because how often do you, how often do I feel a bit like that? What I mean is, I might go into that place for a short time, but then I'm coming back up again out of it. I might know it for a time, and then I'm not knowing it. I may be in it, and then I'm out of it. I might find it, and then I lose it. And I can feel sometimes a bit like that submarine. That I have known times when I've just felt that security and that presence and that peace of God around me in such a place where I think, oh, let's stay here. And then an hour later, the submarine's gone up. And I'm looking at the storm and it's raging. And I feel overwhelmed by life. I'm still learning. I'm still persevering. I think that's okay, though. But it's important that we do keep learning, keep persevering, keep trying, keep thinking about these things. You know, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, I really do believe that it is a gift for God's people. If you're a child of God here today, I believe that one of the gifts that God wants you to know in your life and experience is this place of peace. That there is this cushion of peace that we can find through our faith in Christ Jesus, even when the world is in turmoil and rage and whatever the world is, or even your own world. And I've seen it. I experienced it at times, and I've seen it in people. You know, I've gone to see people when, you know, you just think, oh, no, you know, I'm going to visit them and they're just going to, they've had some bad news. I've said before that there was a time in our own church when there were three people that I knew really closely that were going through cancer. And I thought to myself, when I go and visit them, I thought, oh, they're going to be angry and they're going to be kind of not, why have you, God, have you let this happen to me? And what am I going to say to them? And then yet when I went to see each one of them, it's as if God had dropped them down into a place of peace. I was so challenged by it. I've seen it so many times that God had given them a place of peace, even in the midst of what the world would class as a storm. God can do it for us. So for some today, three things to finish. First is this, I want to use the word quiet. Mark 4, verse 38 to 39. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. Quiet, he said. Be still. And the winds died down, and it became completely calm. For some, I pray that if there is a storm around your life at the moment, I pray that if you cry out to Jesus, for some, he might, even today, even in this moment, command that storm to be quiet. And that you might know that calm and quiet of the storm that is raging around you. Because Jesus can do that. He did that with the physical storm, but I believe he can do it with the emotional and spiritual and other storms that we face. I pray for some of you That might be the word that God just says, quiet. And that storm is quiet and calmed in your life. The second word then has got to be cushion. Because for some today, the storm will still rage around you. I cannot promise you that the storm will stop. But I wonder if that's the case for you, that you might consider what we might need to do, what might contribute to us to taking us into that place of God's cushion of peace. So the storm is still there. It is still raging. The problem, the issue, the concern is still happening. But somewhere in that, God drops you into a place of that cushion of peace. That even when everything is going on around you, you can still know his peace and his presence and his care and his love around you, securing you, holding you and taking care of you. And the final word I want to use is the word pneuma. And I only say that is because in our Wednesday afternoon fellowship, we've been looking at something called pneumas. And we looked at one this week called rain. And it seemed to fit this quite well. Because there was an illustration of this dad that had gone for a walk and it was sunny when he set off and with his son, his little son. But then the rains came. The storms came. And he had to head back home. But the storms were bad and the lightning started to come and the thunder started to come and the son started to cry and was scared, wasn't sure what was going on. Eventually the dad picked the boy up, held him in his arms, and as he walked the rest of the journey home, he kept whispering to his little son, "Don't worry, I love you. We're going to make it. I'm going to get us through this. I love you. We're okay. You're with me. We're going to get through this." Maybe for some of you today, that's what you just need to hear. That somewhere, even in the storm that's going on around you, that God would just pick you up. Just put his arms around you and you'd know that sense of his love surrounding you, saying, "You know what, I love you. We can make this. We're going to make this. I'll carry you. I'll hold you. I'll look after you. I'll take you. We're going to make it. Together we'll make it." For some, God might just want to quieten the storm. For some, he might just want to take us to that place of peace. For some, might just want to just hold on to us and say, "Look, I'm with you. I love you. We're going to get through this." And it may be that today you think, "Hey, it's a beautiful sunshiny day." And not only is it sunshiny outside, it's sunshiny in my life too. Come on. Enjoy the sunshine. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, however it is in you. For some, today, the message might not be for day. It's a message that you need to hold on to because, I'm sorry, it's when the storms come. I don't want to be a prophet of doom. I'm just being honest because that's what Jesus was honest about. But in that place, know this message today. But for some, today's the message for you because the storm is there. And I pray that God might want to quiet it. Quiet it down. Being calm. For some, that might be what God wants to do today. For others, he just wants to drop you down into that cushion of the sea. And we might have to do some things to help us to do that. And for some of us, God just wants to pick us up. Hold us and say, "Look, I'm carrying you. I love you. We're going to get through this." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll think a little bit more maybe as we heading towards communion together today. What we do, I've just picked the song, "Be Still for the Presence of God." And just that sense of, that's what we need, don't we? We need the presence of God and to know the stillness of being in his love and in his care today. So let's sing this as